This episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising is sponsored by you. That is right, you. All of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple and Spotify, shout-outs on social media, articles mentioned to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases all make the show possible week in and week out. And for that, we thank you, homies. Welcome to the Inner Hoa Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her, and who's really happy to be here.
And me, Rodeca, sometimes Rebecca, a fat, black, pansexual, polyamorous femme whose life is a series of coincidences, and we're back from a break with a tan, a new wig, we here.
Okay, tan.
Yeah. And Akua, pronouns she and her, your favorite bald demisexual.
Every episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This week, we're talking about kinky sexagenarians. That's people above 70 years old. The Black Manosphere and Divest Movement. The dildo that allows for testicle penetration. We're going to have a partner reveal party and much, much more. So stay tuned.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag InnerHoaUprising or tweet us at InnerHoaUprising without the G on Twitter. We're also on Instagram at InnerHoaUprising and Facebook.
Yes. All right. Let's dive straight in.
Oh, hell no. Okay.
If you heard last week, we have a new segment. It is called Fuck Yes or Fuck No, in which one of us reads through the headlines related to sex, love, and or dating, and the other folks decide fuck yes to learn more or fuck no. Let's never hear that ever again. Rodeca has curated this week. I'm excited.
All right. You ready to hear this? All right. So
Maybe.
You know, you could say fuck no. The first article we have is, I'm on a strict sex diet to stay in shape. What do y'all think?
No.
Okay. Who just said no?
I don't want these shenanigans. No.
All right. We're not even doing it.
It does once again sound like some white bullshit.
It does. And I don't even, like, what could it, you know what? We don't even need to know. What could it be? Anyway, next we have a bad Zoom date led me to the online Black Manosphere. Akua's eyebrows are so furled.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. I don't, what the hell is a Black Manosphere?
Manosphere. I'm biased because I actually already read this one, so Akua makes a decision.
Yes, please tell me more.
Okay, so let's go into
it. Okay, let's look at it, huh? My brush with the Black Manosphere. After an ill-fated Zoom date, I wandered down an online rabbit hole into the hyper-masculine space for red-pilled Black men. Oh no! All right, I wanted to, like, I saw the titles and I wanted to, like, explore it with y'all, but once I saw red pill,
what does that mean?
Okay, just to cut you off for one second. Hold on to that, Akua. So we're doing two different experiments with this new segment.
Okay.
Last week, Akua, like, did the research and went into the articles. This week, Rebecca is, like,
raw dogging it
with us. Yes. So, yeah, go ahead and say what you're going to say, Akua.
What's a red pill?
So this is going to be the rawest definition based off of my own personal knowledge. So This dates back to the Matrix, like the red pill and the blue pill. The red pill for
did
on
you
the
see the Matrix, Akua? We gotta take it back to basically
there's this movie called The Matrix with Keanu Reeves. Yeah,
okay.
I'm kidding. The idea is basically like the blue pill is to kind of like get you learn the truth about something. The blue pill is supposed to get you back to like before you knew the truth and you're back to your normal life. Okay. The red pill is like, I know this and I want to deep go further in. I'm all in, right? So the red pill, red pill from Reddit and the internet, from what I, maybe 4chan too, who knows, it's kind of like incel stuff, or like basically just like we think we know better than everyone, but it kind of just goes to we hate everybody who's not us.
Like
that's all I need to know.
It has been co-opted from the Matrix because that's not what the Matrix is about. Like the Wachowski now sisters are like two trans women who directed the original Matrix. There were trans allegories in the original Matrix and stuff like that, but like white supremacist movements and incel movements have co-opted that term to go deeper into those lifestyles, essentially. much to the chagrin of the directors. Okay, we're here now. We have 11 minutes of this segment, so I don't know. Are we continuing with this article or?
Basically, from what I'm seeing, because I had to, because I had to look at some trigger words. I just saw neg cells, which is a combination between an incel and a nigga. So I'm there's done. The black I'm manosphere.
Thank
just
you.
So y'all know this article. Okay.
I have actual. Complex, although not yet fleshed out, thoughts on the black manosphere.
Okay.
And maybe since this is the segment that's happening, this is the time that I will share them. So like the manosphere in general, I'll put some links in the show notes or whatever so you can learn about that if you're unfamiliar. But there's a large overlap between folks who play in those spaces and, like, first of all, one, domestic violence and mass shooters. So there's this always like fact that comes out when you see these highly publicized mass shootings that the person has a history of violence against women or misogyny on the internet and things like that. So something that I've been thinking about when it comes to the black manosphere in particular is that we already have like domestic violence in the black community and stuff like that. I think that we're probably going to start seeing some huge instances of mass shootings, but committed by black men and other men of color, where in the past we've seen it more predominantly by white men. So that's my very morbid hypothesis of what's to come.
Because of these spaces?
Yeah, I think it just like breeds that kind of negativity and that kind of hatred and that kind of radicalization. And like if you think about QAnon and how that, like, people like delve into that rabbit hole or whatever, a lot of that shit happened on YouTube, and YouTube like tweets its algorithms for people to not be able to fall into those rabbit holes so easily because it did like cause problems and shit, and like conspiracy movements and stuff like that. But what I see when I go on YouTube is that it still allows for those rabbit holes to kind of circulate for black content specifically. So like if you start off, and there's a YouTuber called FD Signifier, he's actually a really good YouTuber. He made a video about Ahotep. I don't even want to say his name because I don't want that energy in this space. But he was like critiquing like that kind of work or whatever, but people who watch the videos would just be suggested the kind of work that he was critiquing, right? Wow. So like that's shoving people down a path. And we just did an interview off this podcast that you folks will hear later listening at home, but we talked about how maybe like younger people aren't as socially acclimated and are turning to the internet to become acclimated, and a lot of people might turn to podcasts about relationships and dating and things like that. And you might start in a place that is benign and end up in a place that's like, well, these black bitches, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. So like that's happening on one side for one particular gender of people. On my personal YouTube algorithm, like, first of all, I watch our show because I'm trying to like bump it up or whatever on YouTube. But then I also watch other kinds of content about sex, love, and dating from black women and black femmes. And I have gotten the most toxic shit from like this other subset of the black, it's like called black femininity / the divest movement and stuff like that. And
as a suggestion,
I don't have prepared thoughts about it. So I'm just going to do like an off the top of the dome definition. But their whole thing is like there's a movement called men going their own way in the incel movement or in the manosphere movement. And my likening to that would be like black women going their own way. So they're purposely trying to like leave engaging with black men, which there's some genuineness to that. If you think about like rates of domestic violence in the black community and stuff like that and internal misogynoir and things, but also it's like really fucking racist. Like YouTube will suggest me really fucking racist thing. Like this is the Blackistan Zoo and this is what these nignogs are doing. Like really fucking grotesque shit. And both of these underground movements exist on the internet and they're very disturbing. I actually want to do a whole episode about it, but this is my 5-minute peek into that world.
Well, thank you. I've heard enough and don't want to ever hear anymore.
So I think we're clicking the fuck.
I get it. Before next thing you know, someone's watching this on YouTube and that's there it is right there. Oh, nah. Please.
We fed into the algorithm. Oh, God.
Go ahead, Rodeca.
All right. The next one. I just love the way it's phrased. We're having way better sex than our kids. The 70-somethings hitting their kinky blissed out peak is the entire title. What do y'all think?
Fuck yes for me.
Well, yeah, it's a fuck yes
for me. Let's see. You know?
Why'd you say, well, yeah, like we were supposed to?
Well, yeah, of course. I don't know. Sometimes you don't know what you're saying.
I enjoy old people getting a groove back.
I just wanted to clarify.
I'm a firm advocate that you are still sexual in your mature years. I agree with
that. So we have, what do you get when you combine decades of experience and endless time to experiment? The best sex of your life. If you skip down to the actual survey, in the most recent survey from the National Survey of Sexual Attitudes and Lifestyles, 39% of men in the 65 to 74-year-old age bracket, the oldest people the researchers surveyed, they had been sexually active in the previous 4 weeks. Oh, I guess it's better more frequently. So they're saying that they had sex in the last 4 weeks, which is funny because we just had we just did that interview, like you said, which is people are having less sex. But looks like this is kind of contradicting that and saying that older people are having more sex, which
cheers.
I feel like I've always kind of, I don't know if that's like a stigma or something, but I assume that, like, you know, once you get to a certain age, people just say, like, you just be horny and just fucking doing a lot of stuff because, like, the care goes out the window and, you know, you're just like, you're all together, so why not? So this isn't very surprising. I'm just surprised that they're comparing it to, like, being, like, younger people or, like, their children.
I actually read I didn't read it. Shout out to fucking when the New York Times reads whole articles on their Sunday thing. For the daily, because those be long as fuck, and I just need to listen to it while I'm cleaning. So I listened to an article in the New York Times called, hold on, I'm bringing it up, The Joys and Challenges of Sex After 70. And I would definitely recommend folks read or listen to it. It's still on the daily feed. I kind of got a different vibe than what you're saying, where it's like, duh, we fucking, because there's a lot of different things that come into play. Like, well, one, like we were talking about on the interview, we keep referencing this fucking interview.
It did happen right before this, so that's why it's like
it seems
fresh
like
in our
a continuation.
Minds.
Yeah. There's definitely there are things that you need to unlearn in your life because of we live in like a actually sex negative society that allow you to have better sex. And if you think about like the older you are, that's like the more shit that you have to unlearn, and the less time that you even have to do it. Because like when were we unlearning things when we were like in our 20s? Oh yeah. Before life gets real and shit like that, but they were probably introduced to the same amount of information when they were like in their 50s and like trying to put kids through college and shit like that. So on like an ideological level, there's stuff that you have to unlearn. But then on a physical level, like niggas' backs be hurting and stuff like that. So you have to like have to take more care and time and energy and effort. Your partners might be dying and shit. Sorry.
I don't know why. It's true. But yeah. I guess the interesting line from where the like title actually comes from is a person by the name of, can't find their name, but they're in a relationship with somebody named Lindy, and they said they're having way better sex than their kids or her kids. They seem very tired, kids and careers, and they just kind of skip around. So
something
I think
to tiredness retirement.
Can be, yeah.
Retirement is a good time, yo.
Yeah.
My dad just plays the piano, son. I'm like, yeah, I'm jealous.
And then it says they use, she says, mountains of lube because it can take longer to feel momentum. Anticipation has also become more important. They will send saucy texts and photos to each other. We both have hip issues and there are better sides and worse sides. It takes longer to have an orgasm for me, but for Lindy, it's not like that at all. So basically things are changing, but like they're adjusting to it because they have the time to just be like, all right, well, I can't just jump. I'm not gonna just jump into it, but like, you know, this lube later, I'm trying to get you, you know? And that's kind of fun. But then another thing that I think I had like talked about or like touched about like getting older during this interview that we did, but I have, in as a person, as I've been getting older, I've been like thinking about how sex changed because I think right before the break, I was talking about like, or I thought about talking about like one time I couldn't get wet like I used to. And I was like, oh my God. This is it, y'all, based off of, like, nothing other than what the team, like, media and stuff like that. So, like, this is kind of refreshing. And she says that what has surprised her the most about sex at this stage in her life is that it's still available, which I feel like a lot of people were, like, worried about. But one thing that I know sex is available in abundance, especially in having been, to a lot of play parties. That's assured me that, like, look, at least, you know, age is not about, doesn't necessarily inherently affect desirability or, like, its availability, because, like, you go to a play party and you're seeing ranges of ages. Like, I'm probably one of the youngest people in the room, as opposed to, like, it being way older and you're just like, all right, I could still be doing this when I turn 40 or 50 and I know I'll be all right. But yeah.
Where the fuck are the 70 up hoes? I've been trying to interview y'all for like 2 years now, niggas. Right into the show, son. Please. That's all I have to say.
It feels like once you get upper 70s and like older, because even in this survey, they stopped at 74 and it's just like, all right, we good. I'm like, why is there not older, even there's ages above 70, y'all. So I don't know. I'm interested to see. And if y'all are listening, please, because we want to know what
if y'all are listening, or like if you have like an auntie or a grandma or something like that who you know would be down. Because like I'd be trying to get people on so many tangents. I really want to start volunteering to help people like 70 up be more technologically savvy and stuff like that. It's just something that I really care about. But that's like a barrier to having people on the podcast, because like it's a whole pandemic. I'm not knocking on old people's doors and giving them COVID and shit like that. So, and asking them about their sex life. You put that in an email. But yeah, so like if you know people, like swing them our way, son. I really do want more intergenerational conversations. That's 15 minutes. I want more intergenerational conversations on this podcast. Akua, did you have anything to say?
No, I want to hear more about people of an older age exploring kinks, especially like impact kinks or kinks that can cause injury. And it's like, are those the types of kinks they're swinging towards, or is it something else? I want to know how y'all doing this.
We're nosy. IHUpodcast@gmail.com.
Nosy ass motherfuckers.
All right. Well, thank you for leading us through that second edition of Fuck Yes or Fuck No, Rodeca. That was fun. Now let's go into something that is not so fun. Just kidding. It's always ridiculous.
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
This is Fuck Is This, a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at the nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating. Let's try to do another 15-minute kind of thing. First up, we have the story of our womblands. Akua is familiar with womblands, aren't you?
Yes.
Akua doesn't look happy about what she's familiar with, though.
Rodeca is not familiar with our womblands. So this is the bullshit segment or whatever. So there are like conversations to be had, but we're not going to fucking have those conversations. So I will just preface this. I will preface this by saying this is something that arose on TikTok, and I'm going to just show this video that I saw that encapsulates what occurred.
I'm just so nervous, you know, because it could be anything. After the cat, I'm sorry to bring it back up. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It wasn't even a day. It was so long.
Okay, well, here's this now. Womblands.
POV. You're scrolling through TikTok when?
I just wanted to take a second to apologize to Chelsea. I'm very sorry that our friendship has come to this. I'm very sorry for not being the effective communicator that I wanted to be.
I may be pregnant with your child, and you are apologizing for your communication. I have an ache that lives deep in my womblands, and sometimes I just cry from my soul about it. And I sent you so many messages opening up to you about that. You knew. You knew.
Oh.
You fucking knew. Fucking knew.
POV.
Okay.
What?
And if you had.
What? You fucking knew. That's the, it's the hand and the, oh, wow. Okay. It's passion. Was that real? Is that real?
Yes.
Oh, I don't mean to make fun of someone crying, but geez, what was happening?
I don't mean to make fun of someone crying, but...
But
What are the notes that I have before I fucking misspeak up in this podcast?
You're still sharing the screen,
too. Just so you know. I was like, what are your notes, bro?
So turned around.
Why are they sharing that shit, bro?
It's weird.
Like, apparently it was a back and forth on TikTok that this, the first person sent the apology, the second person sent the response, all as TikTok videos.
And then he's like splicing his reaction to both of them.
Yes.
The guy has nothing to do with it.
That was just like a literal POV if you were to go on TikTok. I don't go on TikTok, so I learned about it through that. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like something about like setting up your ring light and like crying into the camera. It's just like, okay,
why are you? But then like the womb lands, you know, like now that I understand it, that's very specific. Like I feel an ache in my womb lands. I've never referred to like.
Okay, so the gag is the other person's name is Lance. So they actually said, I feel an ache deep in my womb lands. But everybody heard.
We heard Wombland.
I 100% heard Wombland. And I was like, is that what I should be referring to it as? Is that like
the other, the quote unquote fuckboy in this situation is Native. And the other person is a white non-binary person. It's just like, it begs the Wombland acknowledgement question. Like,
yeah. It fell right in. I don't know what that says about like, me, but it just.
They would actually say that.
It tied right into it. Wow. That's bizarre.
Oh, man.
And I've noticed it's been that like an uptick. Bizarre. Not that there hasn't always been an uptick since the internet, but like of people reacting to things on camera when like it's hard to take them seriously in terms of their authenticity. Like you said, setting up the room light, the ring light. To then say, okay, and then scene. I'm gonna start crying now. And this is like my story. And TikToks are not easy to make. I've tried. So that, you know.
Me too. Comes across as a little disingenuous. There is a conversation to be had about like they had issues with expectations and communication and all that kind of stuff. And there's like power dynamics. But my takeaway is Wombland's.
And that's all that matters. That is funny.
I don't know why we were invited into this, but it's hilarious to watch.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can make fun of it when it's there, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah,
you kind of let us do it. Okay, all right. Shall we do breast milk or Baldo?
It's gotta be Baldo.
I need Baldo.
It's gotta be Baldo.
Cause what?
Okay. All right, so. Baldo, up next in Fuck Is This? You might be wondering, what is it? According to the Baldo website, sex will never be the same again. Introducing the Baldo, the world's first ball dildo. A new era in sex has arrived. We've created the world's first sex toy that will allow you to penetrate your partner with your balls and unleash pleasure that you've never experienced before. Let the ball sex revolution begin.
You need to see it. I need to see. Okay. Because I like intrinsically.
How do you think that it looks?
So like, I'm just thinking like penis or, you know, whatever ball, whatever you got above your balls. I don't know. The balls are underneath. And then it's just like two dicks, right? Like it's just like an extra dick that's kind of pointy-ish. I don't know.
How do you think that the balls get in there is an important question that I'll ask you.
You got to stuff them, right? Like you got to. Stuff them into the tube, I'm thinking. Or else, like, because balls come in different sizes. So it's not like it has to be a one size fit all unless they have like a large ball.
Do you mean a one size fit ball?
I just want a normal conversation. I don't know. I don't know anymore. It's already a concept that's hard to wrap myself around.
I just want a normal conversation for me.
Like, you're on the wrong podcast.
What am I looking for here? You know, something that
the fuck? Go home, you're Roger. Right.
Oh, who am I? That's the way I am. I don't know. I've never thought about, man, like, I could really use some balls penetrating me right now. So this is already just a concept.
Do you remember in high school when I used to say balls in your pussy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Is this the future?
This is the full circle. This is it.
This is the future. We did it.
We finally got there.
Wow.
shit, Sam.
And Sam would say this all the time. Like, if you, if Sam didn't say that one time when you were around her, it was like, are you okay? So it's just like, yeah, wow.
It had its own acronym, BIYP. Yes. Prophetic nigga shit. Prophetic nigga shit. Akua, any thoughts on how it might look before I, as I tee up
this video? At first, I was imagining like a cock ring situation that goes specifically over the testicles, but then there is the point of penetration. Like, I don't think my coochie opens that wide. I don't know about anybody else's. So then they have, you have to shove it into something. I don't want holes in my pussy. Like, I've just never thought, it was never a request for me, and not saying that I'm the standard, but like.
All right. Well, I have a video and we'll tee it up.
It's so simple to use. Step one, do your manscaping. Make sure your balls are hair free.
We got a shave.
Oh, that's already too much.
Wait, shaving your balls is already too much? You want somebody's hairy ass balls going in your pussy? I think that might be a little bit.
I don't tell them to shave before they, you know, the penis.
Yeah, but there's no hair on your dick.
Towards the base, yeah.
Some people. It goes in your pussy?
Yeah, it makes contact with the labia.
Yeah, it gets in there.
It goes in your pussy?
No, it doesn't go in.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me reemphasize. These balls are going in your pussy.
That makes sense. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Let's see.
That would probably tear up some things for me.
Let's see.
Or get trapped in the ball dough.
Step two, take a small amount of lube and apply to the area. Step three, pull out the super elasticated rim and drop your balls into their respective sides. It's as easy as putting on your underwear. Step four,
I wouldn't say that.
Make sure your balls are seated properly and pop out the sides. Step five, now pull open one of the provided ball dough spacer rings and pull over the top of the ball dough and your balls. Repeat with the next. These rings make the baldo and your scrotum tight enough to resemble a dildo. Oh.
There's some... Yeah, describe what you're feeling.
I didn't... Wow.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Rhoda.
So say, even in the infographic, as I'm thinking about the spacers going on top, I can't imagine that then stretching it. But I guess, like, it does... solve a question that I had, which was just like, how does it even resemble like an actual dildo? And now it's because it's being like spaced. Wow. This was created? Like, this is, you know what I mean? Like,
this is a product. This is why capitalism is bad.
And okay. I just
can't, some things don't need to be made.
I can't imagine this feeling pleasurable.
Valid. For the person, for the wearer.
For the wearer.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine this being pleasurable.
Let us continue.
You may need more or less of them depending on how much skin you have at the top of your balls. Step six, unleash the pleasure for you and your partner. Our product is real.
The fact that you have to say that.
This is not a joke.
It was like a period.
We're trying to make money.
Wow.
All right. And that is, that's how the baldo looks physically. I have some more notes here, unfortunately. Did a real deep dive. So in Wired, someone actually wrote a review of the baldo.
Okay.
It was called, the world's first ball dildo is less of an erotic toy and more of a Dadaist interrogation of the very concept of pleasure. Written on March 6, 2022 by Eric Ravenscraft. It's really funny. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the review part, but I'll link it in the show notes for you folks too. Engage with it and all that good stuff. So Eric writes, it's not a sexy way to get started. Oh, sorry, just offer it. Eric gave it a 2 out of 10, by the way.
Not surprised.
Abysmally low. It's not a sexy way to get started, but fortunately, my partner, who graciously volunteered to help me test the baldo, had a good humor about the whole thing. This, it turned out, was another fringe, possibly unintended side effect of using the baldo. I couldn't use it without laughing and giggling with my partner about the absurdity of what we were doing. How what we were doing was, in its own way, an intimate experience. Actually using the baldo, however, was a terrible experience I can recommend to no one. The rubber material is stiff, as you might expect it would need to be in order to form a phallus. The problem is, you're expected not only pull the baldo itself around your testicles, but also to pull out 2 spacers around your balls and the baldo afterward, as you saw in the video. Anyone who's ever slipped while stretching a rubber band and snapped their fingers should understand the problem here. Ouchies. Worse, the faces.
faces that y'all are making.
Because we know that I know pain, what that pain is. Testicles. So imagine. That do be hurting.
Worse, it's going to be extra slippery since you'll need to apply lube to get the ball dough on. It's a challenge so cruel and unforgiving. It belongs in a Dark Souls game.
Yes, for the reference, that was so good. I was like, that's hard. That's really hard. Okay, good.
But let's assume you understand the risks and want to proceed anyway. The problems don't stop there. For starters, the girth of the thing is tremendous. My partner told me that while it wasn't the most painful thing in the world, it was uncomfortably large. Once it was inserted, movement was easier on the receiving end, but got a lot more difficult on the supply side, so to speak. You see, and I'm addressing the creators of the Baldo when I say you here, inserting any kind of phallus into any kind of orifice requires some amount of force or leverage. We use our hips, our core, our arms, etc. to provide the force necessary to perform the penetrative sex that the Baldo is so hyperfixated on. But virtually no part of my body is less equipped for penetration than my testicles, Baldo or not. My hips were useless at providing any level of thrust at the angle they were asked. The instructional website on the company provides says that once the Baldo is inserted, light thrusting, quote unquote, is possible, which, as marketing overstatements go, right up there with Red Bull promising the power of flight. The fact that he's reading this shit for Phil.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good article. This is why I'm deeply skeptical of the claim that the Baldo can enable double penetration from a single partner, something that I will note literally any standard dildo can provide, which is very true. While I didn't test this claim, even imagining it is frightening. The Baldo is simply too thick for any but the most adventurous to consider taking anally. Using the Baldo in a vagina while the penis is inserted into the anus would be a logistical nightmare. And yeah, I see it. I can visualize in my head how that would make no sense. Once again, I'm brought back to where I found myself before trying the Baldo, questioning everything. The fundamental absurdity of the Baldo's fixation on penetrative sex makes other better alternatives painfully obvious. Even talking about this sex toy is more engaging than the experience using it. And the intimate moments I had bonding over how silly it was in the first place were the only highlights. Maybe that's the message the Baldo has for me, that communicating, laughing, and being vulnerable and embracing the inherent silliness of sex is more valuable than trying to spend copious amounts of money to eke out the tiniest bit of extra pleasure from every nerve ending.
That's perfect.
There we go.
That was perfect.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. That was a read. I watched Baldur porn.
I love how you just ripped the band-aid off, because I am curious porn. And I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you
I
did
went
it
into because I needed pornhub.com and I typed in Baldo and it said, did you mean Ballsy? And I was like, no, I'm not here for fucking Dragon Ball Z porn. I'm here for Baldo. One user uploaded a video. Only one. Their name is Club des Branlors, which is French for wanker club. And they have this whole, I think it's he in pronouns. He has this whole, he just fucks sex toys. That's like his whole thing. And I guess somebody sent him the Baldo. He put the Baldo on. He fucked his penis with a fleshlight. And he fucked his balls with a fleshlight. And he came. And he came a lot. But he was silent. You know?
Okay. He was silent.
I don't know. I don't want to put anything on the person. But I watched another video for like a control. Like, do you be moaning? Do you be moaning?
I was going to ask, is he always quiet?
One time he was moaning. Like that sex toy was like, okay. Like that little butt fleshlight thing. Like he was getting into that butt fleshlight. And I was like, I can see it. She got it sexy. But the Baldo, it was a silent cum.
Oh, wow.
It was a
It was a true scientific experiment.
It was like, I'm doing it for y'all. For nothing else other than for y'all.
And for that, we thank you. Thank you, Club Des Blondelors or whatever. Yeah, before I read the article and looked into this, I was like, we got to get Baldo to sponsor the show. But now I'm vehemently anti-Baldo.
And the way the Baldo fit in the fleshlight, because this person seems to like emphasize how...
It did.
Hey.
It did fit in the fleshlight.
I'm going to watch that. I need to know. So thank you.
I need to go watch it. I need to understand.
You're welcome. Any additional thoughts about Baldo?
If Baldo sponsors the show, I will use
I'll use it.
I looked around like
I'll do any ridiculous shit.
I'll try.
Am I going to enjoy it? No. Probably not. But I'll enjoy the experience.
I don't know if I can get aroused after helping my partner put it on. I think that's just fair. That in itself, I did it just to get it on me because I don't know if I could. But then I'm trying to picture it in my head. If my partner has the Baldo on and we're in missionary, no, there's no form of double print. Like, there has to be some angle in which he's really, like, teabagging me in a way.
Yeah.
To get any kind of thing going.
Maybe it's ass to ass or something like that. Yeah. Like, maybe it's going backwards. I don't know. One thing I will say from watching the porn, it looked like a cock and ball torture device, which is, like, not my kink, not my bag, but no shade to anybody who does. And I definitely get what Eric Ravenscraft was going on with, like, you could literally teabag. Like, you could suck on somebody's balls. There's a lot of different ways to play with somebody's balls. And it seems like this company made this as just, like, fucking, like, capitalism. Like, if it can't be made and it can't be sold, we gotta make it.
Yeah.
Even though people don't need it. But from, like, a kink perspective, I could see, because in the article it said, like, the receiver can manipulate. So I could see, like, a dom or something like that putting this very CBT type toy on somebody's penis and just, like, riding them.
That sounds fun.
I could see why someone might enjoy that experience from that perspective.
If you try the Baldo and you enjoy it, please, we want to know.
But for the person with the testicles, the pleasure would, again, not be from the Baldo, but from the fact that they're being tortured.
Maybe both.
Okay.
It could be the idea of, like, this looks like a torture device. I am being ridden or whatever. And also, there's some sensation happening to your balls. I don't know. I don't know what it would feel like. I don't know. But yeah, if you try it.
Let us know.
I don't know, man. Balls in your pussy. That's all I got.
Balls in your pussy. That's it.
I'm waiting 10 years. Here we go. All right. Next up, we're going to spill some tea about our lives. But first, are you interested in some insightful thoughts into things like body image, dating while agender, and reevaluating your goals as you enter a new stage of life? Our coho Rob has got just what you need over on Patreon. For the low of $2 a month, you can support your fave queer, black, feminist-led sex podcast and have access to the weekly content, hangouts, and resources we put up on Patreon. If you're not down with that and still want to support us monetarily, you can hit up our PayPal. Links to both of those will be in the show notes. All right, let's get into Fuck Me. Black China was tiger, boom, boom. Kylie Jenner used PR, boom, boom. Take what tiger from China, boom. The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. I hear Rodeca has a secret.
A secret? I know y'all tired of me. I'm Rodeca keeping nigga Jones at this point, but yeah, look at me now.
You really do keep a nigga. It's actually wild. When have you ever
Tokyo shit, my friend?
Yo, this last time was 6 months. I was bragging about it. I was like, 6 whole months Rebecca was out here with nobody, raw dog in life alone. But yeah, no, this time, I'm in another relationship, y'all. But I'm very happy.
I don't even want to deep sigh. You're so disappointed.
I don't want to deep sigh. I'm actually very happy.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Y'all have met him. So there's that. Mm-hmm. He exists outside of my imagination.
I have a picture of them saved on my phone.
If y'all follow me on Instagram, I love the guy. He's great. It's Alaric. His name is Alaric. We were talking about, like, not podcasting. We're talking about the dating pool, like, being like shit. I got lucky. We'll see. But Sam explained that her experiences on the dating apps have been better. And I had a mixed bag, but this was just like another... I just live in my life and somebody comes along and they're actually a mutual friend of my best friend. So we met and, like, we just hit it off and it's kind of been a whirlwind, but I'm not complaining at all. And I've been having a really good time and I feel very good, but I'm also scared.
That's good.
I don't know. I think when I first told you guys, one of the first things was like, yo, I'm scared. I'm just scared to do it again, you know, even though You know, I'd be out here every time I put like all of myself into a relationship. Otherwise, why am I doing it? And it's just like, this time I was just like, damn, this is partner number 3 on this show. And I'm hoping it's partner number 2.
You've been on the air for several years. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'm having a really great time. And I feel like I'm like already dating my best friend. So it's been really fun.
Oh. Okay. Well, you can add me to Samantha Keep a Nigga Jones.
Hey, okay.
I don't keep a nigga, but I do have one. I am also in a committed relationship now. Funny story. I think we were supposed to go to brunch or some shit like that. And we like canceled. And Rebecca was like, oh, I was going to tell you I had brunch, but I got a nigga. And I was like, well, bitch, I got a nigga too. And I was going to tell you I had brunch too.
I took it from Sam. And I was like, dang, you know, niggas is tired of me. I wanted to hear this, you know. But yeah.
Yeah. I have a partner now. His name is Morgan. We met on a dating app. We met on Hinge. And yeah. We met while I was saying, I don't have a bad time on dating apps. So it checks out. It makes sense. This is also my third partner on the show. So don't feel bad about it or anything like that.
Thanks.
And yeah, I'm also just having a really good time. He's super fun and nice. And we have a lot of the same values and we're having a good time. And yeah, he makes me really happy.
He is super fun and nice. I didn't get to talk to him.
Oh yeah, they met each other.
Yeah, I think Morgan is great.
He thinks you're cool too. And he thinks Alaric is cool too.
I was about
to
say, they hit it off. Me and Sam were like, what's going on? This was wild. They were like best friends. I was like, okay.
We were at a mutual friend's birthday celebration. Yeah. I believe they pointed at each other.
Yes, and that was it.
From across the room.
That was it.
Because they had similar pattern shirts on.
There you go. Yes.
And
the rest.
That was all. Yeah. That's all they needed to kindle the bromance, okay? Niggas is very simple. They'd be like, you're wearing purple, I'm wearing purple. That's it.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Morgan like has a hard time remembering Alaric's name, so he calls him Alucard, which is Dracula backwards. And our inside joke is that Alaric is a vampire. Sorry.
I think Alaric is also somebody, because I didn't say his name because I didn't know when I would be able to say his name, but like for when I went to St. Lucia, I posted like both of our cups because I had gotten us like cups with our names on
it.
And somebody was like, oh my god, have you seen Vampire Diaries? Apparently there's a vampire on that show named Alaric. So it's a very old German name, so I'm not surprised, but yeah, I definitely think it's like, it's funny, and the people always like mispronounce it, and he doesn't care, so he keeps telling everyone that they're right, and I'm like, everyone was right here. At one point in time, like, I had said his name wrong before we were dating because that's what my best friend had called him, and he like introduced
Alaric.
Yeah, Alaric was what I kept saying. But then like one time he introduced himself, and then I listened to how he introduced himself, and I was like, oh, you're saying Alaric. So I've been like working on that, but I don't know, I think it's a cool name. So
I think it's a cool name too.
But I need to tell him about the Alucard thing because he's going to crack up, especially since I think we've both watched Castlevania. So it's like, that's actually a name of a character on the show.
Yeah, I think that's where Morgan got it from.
So yeah, it's very funny.
So ridiculous. Akua, is there anything else that you think that we should share?
If
you were a listener.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a listener, I want to know everything because we know these flops.
It's been two months.
Tell me more. How long has it been? What type of sex y'all having? I'm nosy, but you know, you share with us.
Me and Morgan have been talking since August. Mm-hmm. And things got serious like the beginning of this year.
I've known of Alaric for 2 years as like this is somebody that I'm hanging out with regularly as like my
best friend.
Did
you always think he was hot?
No. And I talked to him about it too. He's a very attractive person. But like, we laugh because I'm like, when I first met him, I was just like, oh God, like he's a very friendly person. And I'm very like, it's so funny because I'm like next to him and everyone's reaction is like, he must be a ball of fun all the time. I'm like, yeah, he is. And I'm just standing there. I'm like, I enjoy it, but I'd be chilling. So like when I first met him, you know, that's what I remember him just being really energetic and like saying hello. But like, I didn't regard anything about him like physically at all. When I met him, I was sitting on the couch with my ex and I was high as fuck. So I was just like, man, this is cool. But he
did he always think you were
he
hot?
Says that like, he always he like thought that I was in? He says that he thought that I was hot the whole time, and I was like, I look kind of.
Was he ever gonna try to do anything, or was he just
like before it happened, like before we actually like got set up together?
Because you are non-monogamous.
That's true. I should ask him. At the time, no. I think we just like both saw each other and he was like, he was going to play D&D in my basement. And then I was just like, hello, nice to meet you. And like, he said the first thing he remembered was my hair was pink because my hair is pink underneath here. So like, I was just sitting, he was like, he remembered that. And then we hung out again. And I don't think that like any type of like, I have a crush on this person or any type of romantic things happened in my head until even when our first hangout as two people was at a play party, because he just like wanted to go to a play party and I'd never hung out with him outside of my best friend also being there. So I was like, okay, cool. But that, even at the play party, I was like, I didn't feel anything. And then afterwards I was like, I spent that whole time talking to you though. And I had a really good time. And then we decided to hang out again. And that's when I was like, it all came like rushing in. I was like, oh shit. I have a huge crush on this person now. But then by that time he had already told me he had a crush on me. So like, it was cool. Like, I don't know. He says that from the beginning, like he saw me and he was like, yeah, but it just, we didn't even think about or interact in that way until recently. We've been together for, oh, it'll be 3 months soon. And when we were on vacation, we were on the boat and we were just like having a great time. And she was like, are you guys married? I was like, no, it's been 2 months. We're having a good time. And we just like always talk about like, we just like jumped into everything and just doing everything together. And people think we've been together longer than we really have. But no, it's just been like, it's been 3 months. I mean, I made him Instagram official, which is a big deal. Before, I was gonna do that ever. I was gonna pull an Issa and just be like, look, I'm married now. That's it. But
that's it.
Yeah, I felt compelled. And you know, it's been good though. Yeah.
Made him Instagram stories official.
Like, that's true. No, we're not posting yet. Love you. But you know, we're not posting. I'm scared. But yeah. Yeah.
I love the idea that your first date was a play party.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, we're going to go hang out. You know what we're going to do? A play party. Let's go.
And it was funny
because they got good chicken wings in there. Like, what?
It's funny because there's usually like a dress down portion in play parties. And like, I don't know why, I just hadn't told him about it. So like, he was somewhere else. And like, I love to change. Like, some people don't, but I love to get like, because it feels like I'm like hanging out in my living room. So I get like half naked. So like, he turned away and then came back and I was just like, hey, he was like, holy, what the fuck? And I was like, and still we were just chatting it up. We weren't doing anything, but I was half naked the majority of our first date. Yeah.
That's cute. That's very cute. Well, me and Morgan went to the International Queens Night Market for our first date.
So very fitting.
Not the same.
Not the same vibe at all, but
just as good.
Yeah.
Just as good. Yeah. I didn't think that he was into me after our first date either.
You didn't?
Like, we had a really, really good conversation, and I thought that we were just going to be friends. And he was like, all right, it's getting cold. I have to go home now. And I was like, okay, I will. I'm never going to see this nigga again. And that's fine, because I had a good time. But yeah, then he, like, kept talking to me, and I was like, okay. He's interested in something. And then we went on another date, and he was, like, heading home, because, like, he got into a rock climbing accident or whatever. So he had to, like, go back to his hometown-ish to go to the doctor or whatever. And he was like, I really wanted to see you before I left. And I was like, oh.
Nice.
You actually, like, you care about me.
You like,
and we got, we actually got really close when he was, like, not in the same state.
Mm-hmm. We out here again, huh?
I'm so happy for y'all. Y'all deserve these happy feelings.
Thank you, Akua. Okay, maybe here's the time. I was going to tell you later today because I was going to come to your place and declutter, but it's snowing and I don't got no car no more. So, would you be interested in me hooking you up with someone who I dated in the past but was not into and am not into anymore? But I think aligns with many of the things you were looking for, I would say.
Down for whatever.
On air? I didn't know we dropped. Now I gotta be prepared in the future for Sam to just ask a wild question like that. That's cool.
If it went bad, I would just cut it out. It's,
you
can
always
live.
Edit it out. I was just about to say, you could.
I had told Sam that I am focused on setting my mom up, because she's retiring and she need a nigga, so she's not gonna bother me. And I think somehow Sam has mentally made it her mission to set me up, because ever since that conversation,
yes,
Sam is like, all right, so you got your mama, but I got you. Like,
that is what happened. But also, you've expressed a desire to be partnered, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I like hanging out with you. Obviously, I'm not gonna ever stop hanging out with you, but I want to carry you along for the fucking group dates and shit, bitch. Come on. Like, we're supposed to be the same person. Like,
yeah. And that's why I was semi-upset when you was partnered. I was like,
we didn't talk about this. What are you talking about?
Like, Rodeca, I can expect
it just
that.
Happened.
You said in the chat, she was like, I think I said it. And then Sam was like, oh, me too. And Akua just kind of pushed me out the way like, nigga, submit you. Sam, what you mean? It was funny. Yeah. I do remember being extremely happy. I was like, wait, for me, Sam.
Not upset, but like taken aback, like, wait a minute. At this point, this bitch has sworn off niggas with me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you have moved past from that space.
Well, I didn't ever care, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I've never been like, you know, like how it's like, oh, I've always dreamed about my wedding when I was young. I've never been that kind of person or whatever. Like, obviously, I was in a really long-term relationship and I was committed to that because I really liked that person. I really loved that person. And then I was in another relationship and I really liked that person. But the whole, like, being in a romantic relationship, I don't care about it. Yeah. So, like, I was having fun dating, mm-hmm. but then I just started to really like Morgan. Like, mm-hmm. it's not because I want to be in a relationship, it's because I really want to be with him. Mm-hmm. So, I could see why that would be a surprise.
But yeah, you can hook, and I think that's what I'm interested in. Much like you're talking about Alaric being a mutual friend of someone you know, I want to go back to that style of dating. Being on dating apps and meeting strangers, no one can vouch for them but their profile. And I'm running into a lot more frogs than princes. Right. I want to go back to, yo, my homegirl's sister's brother. You know, I have a friend at work. Like, someone that can, if I am dating a mutual friend of Sam's, I know that their values and their lines of thought will more closely align to mine than these random people I'm meeting on an app.
Right.
So that I'm very much interested in matchmaking and set up blind dates. And it's like, hey, you know, Alaric got a brother or Morgan got a cousin or, you know, or something that I think, you know, can be a good fit because you guys and, you know, other people in my circle can be better screeners.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know me and you know what I'm looking for. You know, your partners and their circles will more likely have the same morals, values, and line of thoughts. And you're like, oh, that might be a good match. Again, that person may be trash, but that's always a risk, no matter who you're dating. But the probability of it working out in some sense might be a bit greater.
Say less.
But I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I am open. So you suggested I'll give it a try. I'll try anything once except for crack.
And that's discernment. That's good discernment. Okay. Well, thank you for being all transparent, everybody. Rodeca, Akua.
Yeah.
Myself. Thank you, self. And yeah.
Thank yourself.
That has been another episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can head over to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe and to cop some merch. You guys can follow me at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram.
And you can follow me, Rodeca, at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram. And maybe, you know, there might be an arm or two of Alaric and that's it. I'm going back.
Yeah, reel it back.
Reel it back. Show just the hand. I'm trying to reel later, so let's ignore this whole thing.
I love it.
I'll have a couple cross kind of date. Yeah.
Okay, well, you can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. Who knows what you'll see there. Have a lovely motherfucking week because you deserve to. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.